We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. At my left, I have my co-host,
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Emmanuel Lutheran in Waterloo, Illinois.
And this is our special Valentine episode, and it's just so appropriate because we're it's not just Matt and me, but we also have Bert and we have Herb. Yeah, four guys crammed into this little closet, that the two of us. And this is our Valentine episode because my wife's at work right now. What's your wife doing, man?
She's at work, too, today.
And tell us, Herb, what's your wife doing?
She's flying to Connecticut to see her sisters. It was my Valentine's present to her.
So sending
Go
her
away.
Away. She probably was glad to have it. And we also have Herb's son here, Bert. Bert, what's your wife doing right now?
My wife's working right now, too, and she's working in Iowa. And here I am on Valentine's Day driving the car down to St. Louis for transmission work.
Yeah, so your wife's actually in another state completely. Okay. Maybe we should offer some explanations here.
There's no better Valentine's Day gift than a new transmission.
Yeah.
Not that says romance like that.
We have with us, we're starting a new series. Well, it has to be done more than once to qualify as a series, so we'll see how that works out. But the idea was we wanted to get some smart people to come into the studio and do just two things for us. Yeah, Bert's looking around.
Smart people. We're here, John.
Okay, well, you know, we'll try better the next time. but the premise was this show is all about getting the good news out to people, the gospel of God's love. And of course, our tagline is putting the fun in the fundamentals. So we thought it would be fun to invite someone in and ask them first to tell us a favorite story, a favorite joke, and then also to tell us one of their favorite stories in the Bible that teach us about, again, how much God loves for us. So we invited the vice president.
The vice president. Now, but, John thought it was Joe Biden last
week.
I'm
sorry.
There was a little mix-up.
Well, Matt said the vice president. I'm thinking Biden. But I actually found out from the host of the Bible study, Roland, that Herb, you're the first vice president, so I'm thinking he's one up on Biden, huh?
Yeah, Biden's just a vice president.
Yeah, but you're
the first.
The first.
Tell us, first vice president of what, though, Herb? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
No, the first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is really one of the first assistants to the president, Matthew Harrison, and so I get to help out with all kinds of different stuff going on in Synod. The job description of the first vice president in the bylaws is very simple. Number one, you're chairman of the colloquy committee for pastors coming to us from other churches. And number two, you do whatever the president tells you to do.
Oh, there you go. That sounds simple enough, doesn't it?
And he said to me, Herb, today, go to KFUO.
Oh, okay. Good, perfect. Good. So the president has actually given you permission to be with us.
Well, tacitly.
Okay. He doesn't. Honestly, he doesn't know what's going on at all, does he?
No, he doesn't.
All right. That's probably best that we keep it that way. And just make sure he's not around a radio this coming Saturday, okay, Herb? And you'll be all right.
No, we'll be in a Council of Presidents meeting this coming Saturday.
Awesome, good. Then
even
we don't
better.
Have to worry about it. Yeah,
that way none of the district presidents will be hearing this.
Yeah. That's
right. Now, as if that was not enough to have the first vice president with us here, it turns out that your son is actually in the neighborhood. He popped in, and Bert was willing to stay with us. Bert, tell us where you're at, what you're doing, and how it is you happen to be in St. Louis on Valentine's Day when your wife is in Iowa.
Well, I told you about the transmission on the car. Basically, there's a warranty issue, and so, you know, we have to go where the warranty was from. We had the transmission rebuilt last summer when we were here. But anyway, that's not funny. But I'm a pastor at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Westgate, Iowa, and Grace Lutheran Church in Fayette, Iowa, and really loving it up there. And they'll probably never hear this either. Although I'll tell them that I was
on the radio. We're on the web. We're on the web. Yeah, they can listen to it on the internet.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, that's good.
Yeah,
wow.
Tell them to go on.
It's worldwide.
Oh, that's true. I don't know if we go to Iowa. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have internet in Iowa? That's a point. Okay.
Yes, we do. Yes.
So anyway, thank you, Bert, for sticking around and doing this show with us as well. And I guess people are probably wanting us to get on to what we're talking about. Yeah. So you have do you have a joke about Bert? First of all, do you have stories about Bert to tell? But no, you have something about Bert's son.
Bert has a little boy, Micah, who is 5 years old, and Micah just loves the planets.
Uh-huh.
Somehow he has gotten interested in the planets, and Micah can even explain to you why Pluto is no longer a planet. I'm not sure I can.
5 years old. Wow.
Understand that.
Wow. There's the guy we should have here. Get Micah in.
But just recently, my wife turned 61. Can I say that on the? I just did.
Yes, you did. She's going to Connecticut.
But she's not here. She'll be in Connecticut. I suppose she could listen on the internet. I think they have that there in Connecticut. Anyway, on the birthday card that Bert and his family sent to Grandma. At the bottom, there's this note that says, Micah says only two more years and you'll be 63. And, you know, because she turned 61.
Yes,
and why that? Well, Micah's mom says 63 is Micah's favorite number. Well, why is 63 a five-year-old's favorite number? Well, 63 is the number of moons that Jupiter has. That's why it's his favorite number. And now, does he know the names of some of the moons of Jupiter?
You know, the big ones, the Galilean ones.
The four Galilean moons. Yeah.
I'm not sure I could name them all.
But, yeah. But Micah knows the planets and knows their order from the sun. He draws pictures of them.
Wow.
And,
good for him.
It's just amazing.
The biggest thing right now is for him to draw pictures of them in proportion to their size in order from the smallest one all the way to the biggest one, from Pluto all the way up to Jupiter, you know.
Oh, wow.
So Micah counts Pluto as a planet?
For the purposes of size,
I think. When you're doing that, because it's the little one. Yeah, so you've got to have it in there.
We have a five-year-old, and she doesn't know the planets yet. I'm going to have to talk to my wife about this. We're behind, apparently.
Start working on them 63 moons, I'm thinking. Wow. Okay, I didn't even know there were 63 moons.
I didn't either.
So, thank you for, and that kind of worked out nice with you being here, that you could hear the story about your son Micah. Yeah. So what Bible story strikes you, Herb?
All right, now there's no time for foolishness.
John, to pick one, you know.
Oh yes, it is. The Bible's full of a bunch.
full of a bunch, but I like Mark chapter 1. If you read in Mark chapter 1, there's just a series of things. Once Jesus gets going,
and that's a good one because it's the one that starts the Gospel of Mark.
Yeah,
right? it's the one Gospel that says it's a Gospel.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Anyway, after John's arrested, Jesus goes into Galilee. He starts preaching. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. He calls disciples right away. And then right after that, he's in Capernaum, which was kind of his base of operations. And it says, immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished. You know, and in Arkansas, they would say they were bum-fuzzled. You've never heard that term before? They were astonished. They didn't know what to do with his teaching.
It's in the Greek.
because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. You know, when you're in college and you write a term paper, you got to cite a bunch of other authorities.
The authorities, yes.
And reference works, footnotes, and all of that. Well, Jesus didn't need footnotes. He was everybody else's footnote. Jesus had his own authority. He spoke with authority that came from himself. He taught as the one who had authority and not as the scribes. I'm in Mark 1. I started at verse 21, and here's verse 23. And immediately, right then and there, there was this guy in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." You know, nobody else knew, but the demons already were recognizing, hey, our territory is being invaded here. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the word for "be silent" there literally means be muzzled. You know, put a muzzle on. You know, just shut your trap.
If I had a nickel for every time someone said that to me,
be muzzled.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But no, Jesus is saying this to the demon with authority, and the unclean spirit. Did that unclean spirit have a choice? You know, gee, let's see, should I come out or not? You know, no, he had no choice whatsoever because Jesus is speaking with his own authority coming out of him. So the unclean spirit convulses the guy and crying out with a loud voice comes out of him. And they were all amazed. It's a little different word, just totally blown away, we would say. So they questioned among themselves saying, "What is this? What's going on here? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Maybe they had some experience with some of these unclean spirits. Luke tells us, if I remember right, it was an unclean demon. You know, not just a demon, but a really bad one.
I guess
one.
If you're a demon, an unclean, that's twice as bad.
You know, but Jesus just says, "Get out of him," and the demon's got no choice, but he's got to go. So at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Jesus has authority over that evil spirit because he has come to destroy, the book of Hebrews says, to destroy the works of the devil by his own death and his own resurrection. It's interesting. I wonder if the demons, I mean, they knew who he was, the Holy One of God. Did they know yet what he was going to do? Probably.
That's a good point.
You know,
yeah.
Probably not. You know, and so they just knew, the gig is up here. We've gotta get out of here because the Holy One of God has come and has, with authority, cast us out. And there's another passage that comes right away as well, which, my Bible closed here and...
I wish the people that are listening could see this because the son has stepped up and holding the Bible.
Holding the Bible,
so his dad can find the Bible passage. That's wonderful. Then his dad takes it away from him. Probably that was much when you were growing up, wasn't it? Your dad just kept pulling stuff away from him. I'm sorry.
I thought there was going to be a sermon illustration or something in there, but I don't know. Maybe not.
It goes on from there because then Jesus goes to the house of Simon Peter and his mother-in-law's got a fever. Jesus rebukes the fever and it leaves her and she gets up and serves. And then they bring all kinds of people with illnesses and he's healing them all night. Goes out the next morning to pray and goes on to the next towns and does more preaching and teaching. And then in chapter 2, the beginning of Mark chapter 2, it's another authority passage. And that's really, you know, my theme here.
Okay.
That Jesus speaks his word with authority. And Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came, bringing him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. It's a famous story. I've always wondered what the owner of the house thought, you know, as he started to see what? Daylight where there shouldn't be any daylight, you know. But when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And, you know, two things there. One, Jesus saw the faith of the guys who brought their friend. And then he said to him first, "Your sins are forgiven you." And I wonder if they thought, wait a minute, that's not why we went to all this trouble.
We didn't tear up the roof for
you. Yeah, you know, we're going to have to pay for this, you know. actually, Jesus is demonstrating that the real sickness is, of course, the sickness of sin. And now, of course, some of the scribes are sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this guy speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? You know. And immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they had questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'?" Well, the point is they're both easy to say. But then he says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And guess what? That's exactly what he did. He went out healed, and he went out forgiven. And the people were all amazed and saying, "We never saw anything like this." So Jesus speaks with authority and demonstrates that authority by his healing the man. Get up, take up your bed, and go home. You're no longer paralyzed. And so that's that miracle is a sign, though, pointing to the greatest miracle, which is the fact that Jesus Christ is going to conquer death itself by rising from the dead. That's why he's got authority over demons. That's why he's got authority to forgive sins, and because he rose from the dead. And he gives that authority to his church, by the way, to speak in his name to forgive sins. And that's the treasure that pastors have to bring to their people. That's the treasure that we have to as members of the body of Christ to bring to one another, the forgiveness of sins because Jesus died and rose for us. You know, there's a lot of talk in the world today that Jesus is one guy among a bunch of religious leaders, and he may be nice, but if Muhammad floats your boat, well, that's just fine too. And the only thing there is that only Jesus rose from the dead.
Yep. Yeah. We still got the bones of Muhammad. And by the way, Muhammad never had authority over sin or over death or any of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's such a great story here because you're right. I really appreciate what you said at the end because that's the same authority we got now. We
exactly.
have that authority. We can bring people forgiveness. We can bring them life.
Yeah, it's not just that we talk about, why don't you talk to God and maybe he'll forgive you. But no, we can. We've got the forgiveness to bring.
I think that's what Jesus said, didn't he, Matt? He said, if you forgive sins here on earth, they're forgiven in heaven, which is a beautiful promise. I got a question to throw out here because people pretty well know that we're not organized. Seriously,
when
people say to me, I don't want to be part of organized religion, I'm saying, well, then you should listen to our show because we're as unorganized as they get.
Yeah.
This is not organized religion.
Holy cow, Bert,
do you have to leave? Are you going to be able to stick around for the second episode we're recording today?
Sure.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I didn't know. That's right. Your wife can wait an extra half hour.
I'm here. I might as well stay.
Okay, well, because what I'd like to do then in the second episode, we'll go ahead and continue on this theme, but could you, I know you haven't had a chance to prepare this, but would you share with us one of the Bible stories that you really, really like? Could you do that for us in the second episode?
Sure.
Do you have a joke, too?
No.
All right, well, be thinking about that as we finish up this episode. Think of one. Surely you know one. Well, tell us
4 minutes to come up with something.
You want to be tell us some funny story about your father. I think that might be good. But anyway, back to this theme. You know, this business, Herbie, you were talking about, you know, the authority to cast out demons. And then he turns around, has an authority because he heals the sick. And then he's got authority to forgive people's sins. Here's the scenario I saw in this thing, Herb. He had already been in Capernaum, and everyone brought their sick to him. Why was it that this paralytic didn't get there? And I've always thought maybe the paralytic thought, well, I can't go. I'm not worthy of his love and forgiveness. You know?
That could be.
Yeah, because it's because the text says that everybody there came. They all brought all their sick to him. And so why does the paralytic not get forgiven or healed, rather, the first time around? And I've often thought maybe that's what Jesus saw when they laid him down. He saw, you know, your big problem isn't you're paralytic. Your big problem is you don't think God can love you.
You know, that's a great insight, I think. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, it occurred to me that I, and I'm sure Matt too, and the people and Bert, because we're all ministers. We're dealing with people all the time. And it seems to me often their biggest problem isn't that God isn't helping them, but that they don't think God should help them. Or that they're not worthy of the help of God.
You know, that the fact that they're in trouble or they got themselves into so much trouble is evidence that God doesn't love me or God doesn't really care about me. He might care about you because you're good, but...
Yes,
you know, You know, I used to say when people said that, you don't know.
If you only knew.
If you only knew, But, just... helping people to see that God truly does love them, not because you're worthy,
but because
of God and who He is. The prayer for the prayer in church that we often use for Ash Wednesday starts out, "Oh God, You hate nothing that You have made." Yeah, and you know what a comfort that is to know that God doesn't hate anything that He has made, but He loves it with a love that never ends, and that's why He sent Christ to, as the book of Hebrews says, which we said before, to destroy the works of the devil, namely death, by His death and resurrection.
And that's what we hope, at least. Would you not agree, Matt, that that's what this show is all about, to let people know that regardless of what, and I appreciate that to her, but it's not that we're worthy of it. Nobody is worthy of it. But as we actually had Tuesday in the Bible study here on KFUO, that passage from Luke that says He's kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Wow, what a God is this.
You bet.
That is willing to bring His grace. And in fact, that's the next verse. We should be merciful as He's merciful. But that's just a wonderful thought. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I really appreciate the fact that you remind us that Jesus does have authority to forgive sins here on earth. He really can do that. Because I think you're right. I think sometimes when we are struggling with a very physical and earthly trials, we begin to think, well, maybe He can't do anything. And we need to remember, no, He can take care of all of those things. He has authority over the demons and over the evil and the wickedness and certainly our own guilt and our need for forgiveness. How are we doing, Matt, time-wise?
Well, we're going to start having to close up here, but boy, thanks for joining us. It's been fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the next episode, too.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And I hope that maybe next Valentine's Day we can actually be with our sweethearts.
No offense, guys.
It's always pretty. You know, it's getting a little warm in here.
Yeah.
Is this a man cave?
There we go. That's right.
Starting to
come in
like
from
one.
The man.